If you're like me and you're torn between the love my body at any size movement and the if I love my body, I need to make healthier choices to feel good too thought process, then you're in the right place. It's every day now that someone out there is telling us the next best thing on TikTok or Instagram ads or showing us another shortcut, and it is exhausting. How about we heal our relationship with our bodies, exercise and food, and give ourselves grace along the way? Let's do this together and celebrate the small stuff. Welcome to A Healthy Dose with Sadie Tolberg.
Doctor, doctor, fix me up. Okay, this is going to be a lot of information today about my kind of experience, what I've seen, what I've picked up on, and really just a way for you to think a little bit differently for your next doctor's visit and how to advocate for yourself and what you're looking for and things like that. So first of all, I am a nurse. I have been a nurse for several years. I've worked in the ER, in the clinic. I've worked in multiple different sub areas like home health and IV nursing, things like that. And so I did not grow up around a lot of doctors, or probably any, to be honest. But when I started working with them, it took a little bit of time to kind of understand the psychology. This was after I was in the military, so I understand like the ranking system of just different areas of society, right? So that can get kind of blurred and a little bit confusing in the hospital system. Because if you think of a general hospital, right, the people that feel like they're probably low man on the totem pole are going to be like the janitors or the people that push people in the wheelchairs and things like that, right? They probably get paid less than some of the other individuals, especially doctors, but that doesn't mean that they aren't an extremely, extremely important part of the hospital ecosystem and that they should be respected just as much as the doctors and the surgeons and the neuroscientists and all these things. So when we think of that low man totem pole, we definitely have this way in society to think of doctors as having the most education, to really being the top dog. But ultimately, they still are employed and they are still doing their job. There's still a hierarchy of ownership in a hospital. So there's an administrator, there's somebody who's a building manager, there's all these background pieces to the hospital. And I've really developed my way of thinking, which was very like structural hierarchy type monarchy way of thinking in a hospital ecosystem. But really, it is such this beautiful blend of how we all should work together. There should constantly be a good rapport, communication between nurses and nurses assistants and pharmacists and physical therapists and doctors, and everybody should mix well between. The sign of a good doctor to me is one that really respects every person that they work with, because we know that as a team, we can do great things for our patients. But if you are so focused on your one role that you're not paying attention to what everybody else is doing around you, you're surely going to have a really hard time. And nurses in general are going to way outnumber doctors, because we're the kind of worker bees, right? And we don't always have the nurse's assistants. It's not a very high paying job. It's also not the easiest. It's very backbreaking work. A CNA will be the ones to use their body more to like clean somebody and pull them up in the bed and help them get out of bed and walk. So there's a lot more physical demanding in the nurse's assistants. And the nurses who do a lot right alongside them and do things together. And when we don't have those aides, the nurses are the ones that end up doing that on their own. So I loved the dynamic of the level one trauma center that I worked in, because we knew that we needed all of us to be involved in the care of our trauma patients, especially because if we were missing one part of the dynamic, it really was felt. And so we were very appreciative and very much working as a team. Now, in other areas that I've worked, I've been with doctors that there's a different dynamic. We don't really lean on each other. We don't really need to go back and forth. The doctor is there to go in and assess and do their piece, and then they come out and say, this is my delegation for things to you to do as a nurse. So you do really listen to that command and that those orders that they are asking you to follow through with. And sometimes, like I said, you don't always have help. So you're kind of a solo mission. So understanding the dynamic and really that we know doctors have a lot of education. They have to go to school for a very long time. A lot of these schools are different from one another. There's a core curriculum of what they're supposed to be taught, but there's always going to be their own energy and their own focuses. Depending on the professors and depending on the university specifically, are they going to be bedside manner friendly? Are they going to be nutrition heavy? Are they going to be very old fashioned? There's a lot to consider where this doctor got their education from. You may not know this because they don't ever say, and it's not like you're looking at the plaques on the wall, but you could have been treated by a doctor who was last in their class. There's always a last in the class, right? And so it's great to know that my doctor was top of the class from Harvard Medical School, but they may have horrible bedside manner, but they're super smart. So are you somebody that is okay with horrible bedside manner? There's certain professions in the medical field where we just know that's kind of the attitude of like surgeons. They don't have as much face-to-face with the patients as other specialties because they are dealing with them under anesthesia. Like they're going to be less bedside friendly and more like worried about their staff in the OR, right? Like they need to trust the people to the left and right that they're going to grab the right tools and things that they need in the timely manner, or else this could be life or death. And so ICU is very similar too, where being in the intensive care unit, you need to have high level of knowledge and receive it very quickly to be able to come up with a solution very quickly if somebody starts to turn for the worst. The ER is the jack of all trades. Everybody that comes in there is going to present with a different story. So you could walk, they could come in with an abdominal pain and it could be thousands of things that are causing that. So these doctors have to think really rapidly to really analyze like what's going on. And then when you get out to the specialties, right? So if they're a kidney specialist or a heart doctor or a lung doctor, all these different things, sometimes they are so fixated on their one specialty that it's been a while since they've brushed up on their gynecological information, or maybe they don't remember anything about feet because they're not a podiatrist. But if a patient comes in and they're like, hey, doc, I know you're my cardiologist, but I just started this new medication for my feet. That doctor needs to know if there's any reactions or if there's anything that they need to pay attention to when it comes to interactions and things like that. So always remember that if you are seeing multiple doctors and you've got a primary care provider and you've got a heart doctor and a lung doctor and a diabetes doctor and a hormone doctor and all these things, like they need to communicate. And it's your responsibility to advocate for good, solid communication, because sometimes they're just not going to do it or realize that they're, you know, missing somebody if you don't communicate and say so. We hope and pray that every time we see a doctor, they have checked our medical records and they have looked at, you know, our most recent notes from the last doctor that we saw, but sometimes they are back to back to back to back with patients. And that's another piece that I wanted to bring up as well with our doctors. They are busy. They see so many people every single day, and it just doesn't allow for as much time as people deserve. And this isn't right. I'm not saying that this is a you know, thing that I advocate for, but sometimes if you're going in for a primary care doctor and you are showing up there and you've got a very minor issue, like there's a spot on my hand that's bothered me for 25 years. And I figured I'd finally just make an appointment to come in for this. they are sandwiching you between sometimes, you know, 20 to 40 other patients. And some of them have chronic health issues that they're trying to manage. Some of them are, you know, in an acute, you know, pain of some sort that they need to do something about, or they require to have some sort of a procedure done, whether it's something small like cleaning earwax out or something that's almost borderline surgical, you know. So they've got so much going on that it doesn't allow for the amount of time and energy that people need and deserve. And that is just a systemic problem. Really, I'm not coming here to come up with solutions or answers or things like that, except to say, advocate for yourself. You know, if you feel like that wasn't enough in that 5 minutes you got with the doctor, make another appointment. And unfortunately, a lot of these doctors are like slaves in a sense to insurance, because they may say, I really think that you need an MRI. And insurance may say, sorry, we don't cover that. And you may not be able to pay for that out of pocket. And so the doctors can't do anything else. So, you know, they may order it not even knowing if your insurance is going to cover it and things like that. So there's a bit of a way to navigate through the healthcare system. You want to make sure that you are always finding out if your insurance will cover certain things. Insurances now are covering more preventative type things and alternative type things. For example, like hyperbaric chambers or chiropractors, massage, acupuncture, some of that stuff is really being taken more seriously because there's more years and years of research and they're finding that it does help. Paying out of pocket for things like that can be, you know, pricey. And so really asking your insurance, getting on the phone with them and seeing like, hey, is this something that's covered with the referral from the doctor, things like that. Make sure you've got the referral. Trust me when I say, make sure you got that referral. So without it, you're subject to having to pay all kinds of things. So having that good communication and really talking with them, there are some areas that the doctors are like, I don't know. I don't have any information on insurance. I don't know how that works. Same things with nurses. We're not taught that in school per se. It's not like it's a part of our curriculum the same way that like learning about how diabetes works, you know? When this is just kind of a life lesson in any area, you go in to a doctor's appointment and say that you've been waiting for over an hour and you are grumpy and tired and hungry and cold and thirsty and have to pee and all these things, and you finally see the doctor, you're already set in a bad mood. They're probably not happy that they're an hour late. It's not like they do that on purpose and they say, I'm really going to piss off all of my patients today by getting really, really behind. Sometimes they probably don't even look at the clock. And so they could be in with a patient who's there just for this weird spot on the back of their hand that they've had for 25 years, only to find out that they have a raging infection in their left toe. You know, like you never know what could end up taking more time than expected. And so going in there with a really grumpy, mad, angry attitude, like it was not personal. I can pretty much guarantee that for like 99% of the doctors, it's not personal. However, just like anybody that works at a retail store or at a restaurant or anything like that, if you immediately come off rude and angry and like just in a bad attitude, it's almost like human nature for some people just to be like, I'm gonna make them wait 5 extra minutes. Again, this is not something I condone or that I enjoy or I like or anything like that, but keep that in mind. So having a good positive mindset and really, you know, just sharing gratitude and being as flexible as you can, you know, when you make that doctor's appointment, just buffer time before and after. And bring something like a book to read or some work to do, crossword puzzle, anything like that, because they are human and they make mistakes too, which is why you should always double check. I will share an experience that I had with a doctor. I was on the phone when my mom and my stepdad went in to the primary care provider. I was really unhappy with the lack of communication that my parents were having with this particular provider, which is why I was on the phone. And the way that he spoke to my stepdad was very much like, why you here, Keith? And he was like, well, I don't know. Says that you're looking for a potential hospice. Why, you think you're dying, Keith? He's like, yeah, some days I think I am. And he continued to like essentially gaslight him into thinking that, you know, you're fine. He'd been on oxygen for 8 years with 15% lung capacity. He had been seeing a cardiologist, pulmonologist, all of these different specialists. He'd been on disability, like all of these things. And this doctor's going to sit here and be like, you look great. And so eventually I stepped in. I was very upset. So I was not my nice, pleasant, happy-go-lucky person self. I was really just talking to this man in like a listen to me, buddy. And I don't condone that either, but sometimes you have to advocate for yourself. Again, this doctor was a human being and he had been a physician for 30 plus years. So probably extremely knowledgeable and probably has a great intuition. But again, we don't know if he was last in his class. Does he read new articles? Does he take continuing education courses? When was the last time that he was updated on what's the latest and greatest? Does he read articles that talk about the new findings and research studies? We don't know any of that. We just know the way that he was speaking to him. And that's when I said, this is the best thing that I can do from a phone right now across the country. And that was explained to him where we were at with this and how, you know, his nonchalant, devil may care, you know, attitude about all of this, like, was not appropriate in this moment. So he did put in for a hospice consult, but not without putting a couple of last words in about how, oh, I don't even know if you're going to qualify or if your insurance will even pay for it. That was none of his business because he, again, is not the keeper of insurance. He doesn't get to decide that. He's not the insurance person. And so he was qualified immediately and insurance paid for 100%. So just keep things in mind. And at the end of that conversation, the doctor had also put in for a prescription for a new sleep/pain pill. And he put in for one pill. He meant to do 100. So fat fingers, I probably razzled him a little bit. He probably wasn't used to being spoken to so sternly. But again, I don't expect everybody to kind of go down these routes, but just keep that in mind that, like, one, be kind when you need to, and two, be stern when you need to, and really understanding and knowing when to stick up for yourself. It's intimidating to be around people that are so highly intelligent that sometimes, like, kind of have this air that they're smarter than you. Like, yeah, you are in some areas. I will give you that. You went to a lot of school and I respect you. I always refer to doctors as doctor, even if they have a PhD. If I know that they have got like a PhD in religious studies, or if they've got a PhD in archaeology, or I don't know, basket weaving, for example, they still, like, I respect the fact that they have a lot of information, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to call them out when, you know, they are missing a piece of the holistic care. I've had a lot of doctors that have their opinions on certain nutrition followings and things like that. Some of them are very quick to dismiss things. And, you know, unless they've actually sat down and done the research to really look at things, like, I'll use the example of network marketing and the MLM models. They'll immediately dismiss it because they don't like the model used, but really they haven't even looked at the nutrition labels, or they haven't even looked at the way that it was processed, and they might not even have the education to know if that processing is good or not. So you really want to talk to people that are very knowledgeable on that type of thing. So if you're looking at, okay, how did they make this shake, for example? Did they, you know, use this kind of ingredient, that kind of ingredient? How did they process it? Things like that. You know, do they, the doctor may be very anti-soy, for example, or anti-dairy, for example. So if they see that in there, my next question is, do you scrutinize and look at all of the pharmacies and the different medical companies that come up with medicine the same way? Because you may not know this, but some medicines have meat, dairy products in them. And I'm talking medicines, actual, diabetes, cholesterol, things like that. So if you're a vegan, you need to know where that stuff comes from. And the doctors don't know. They put in for, let's say, metformin, which is a medication that helps diabetes. So they put in for that specific medication. You go to your pharmacist. There are thousands of distributors that make that medication. They have the recipe and they will make it in whatever facility that they have, which could be the same cutting board, the same material that they make, a fish oil, for example. So there could be fish remnants in it. We don't know that their cleaning process. You think that they're inspected and all these things, but the doctors don't know or pay attention to that. They just know that you are a qualified candidate for metformin until proven otherwise. And so you have to be communicative with them. And so there are a lot of times that your medical staff are lied to, and it can really turn us into a bit of a skeptic when it comes to everybody. There are drug seekers, pain pill seekers. There are people that don't even realize maybe that they're lying. I've had so many patients where I'll ask them, do you have any medical problems? Do you have any diagnoses? And they'll say no. And the next couple questions, are you taking any medication? And they're talking about diabetes medication, hypertension medication, high cholesterol medications. And I'll, say, oh, I thought you said you didn't have any diagnoses or medical problems. But their thoughts are, they're cured because I take a medication now. I don't have diabetes because I take a diabetes medication. So we have to really get past all of those types of people to ask the kinds of questions that we need to know to give them the best care possible. And that can be very, very hardening of our compassion and things like that, because we want to make sure that we are giving somebody the best care. But when we feel like we can't because they're not sharing with us all the information we need to know, it just sets the tone. A lot of people too have just naturally a way of kind of talking down or condescending or things like that. I found myself at times just being very untrusting of a lot of doctors until they've gained my trust, because I've seen just so many in these places of, it's my way or the highway. I know best. I won't listen to you. I won't have a conversation with you. I don't want to know about, your random research trial that does this and that. And so you just really have to find somebody that you trust, that you like, that you feel is going to advocate for you, that you really feel like is going to care about you. But also knowing that they're not your family, they're not somebody that is going to always go out of their way to make sure that you have what you need. But I can guarantee you one thing, they do think about you. Somebody who who's cared for you in a professional capacity at some point in your life, you may be etched in their mind, and they think about you and they want to know that you're doing well. So if you are a former patient of mine in any capacity as nursing, I do keep in touch with some of them, which is not something that a lot of people do, but I was in a clinic for a long time and I had developed friendships with some of our patients. So if you are a former patient, I think of you, and I hope that you're doing well. There's been times where, especially of those clinic patients of mine, I've learned later that they passed, and I just send prayers up to their loved ones and things like that. But some of the key takeaways, just to kind of wrap up this podcast here, especially when it comes to, your medical staff and your doctors, I just always recommend that you give them that level of respect that they earned. They earned that title of doctor. Always ask them if they are okay with you calling them by their first name. We would have a lot of people in my clinic that would refer to the doctors by their first name, and they're like, why do they do that? And it's different if it's outside of a work environment, if they, go to concerts together and things like that. But just have that kind of respect, at least for them. And then make sure that you're advocating for yourself one way or the other. If you feel like they aren't being very friendly, or they don't have a great bedside manner, can you communicate that to them in a way that's not going to make them backfire on you? Can you maybe stop and just say, are you having an okay day today? Or should I make an appointment on another day? I noticed that you were an hour late. maybe, you know, we can reschedule things like that, just so that they can get back on track for the next person. And, you know, maybe it works best for you to be that first person in the day. Like, if you know that I can make it to, they start to seeing patients at 7:30, I'm going to make a 7:30 appointment, you know, really working on what works best for you and making sure that you're finding that medical team that really is going to give you that holistic care and listens to you and you're on the same pages with, and having that open relationship communication with them. There's so many great technologies now with that instant messaging and different things that you can just communicate with them and communicate with the team. And so good luck. If you are ever in a place that you want to have a discussion with me, like, hey, I'm going to my doctor on Thursday, you can do a free consult with me and I'll help you just organize your thoughts if you have a lot of head to toe questions to bring up with them, and kind of how to make sure that you are sharing with them the pertinent information. So if you have a lot of gynecological problems and you're meeting with your GYN and you want to make sure that you are saying everything that should be said, I always recommend writing things down, but really kind of going through that whole motions just in case they forget to ask you a question. You already have it locked and loaded to share with them so that you don't feel like you miss something that is super important. So I'm always available to do consults for things like that as well. And so hope that your next doctor visit is much better with all of this locked and loaded information and empowerment, and make sure to use your voice and communicate, communicate, communicate. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet, please subscribe for more and leave a review. If you got something great out of today, please share with your family and friends. And as always, please remember to consult with your primary care provider if you have any questions or concerns. This podcast is meant to be educational and based off of my experience. Have a great day. You are unique and amazing and beautiful.